Hello and welcome to Visa Talks, interesting discussions with interesting people from all around the world. I am your host for today, Maria Roa, and I am delighted to be joined by Ashley Dudarenok. Ashley is a Chinese serial entrepreneur, award-winning marketing professional, and author. As a serial entrepreneur, her business portfolio is diverse, from real estate and hospitality to music studios, food factory, and consulting. In the China space, she is the founder of Chosan, a consulting company through which she and her team help global tech giants and MNCs learn from China's digital rise, deliver consumer research, strategy development, and much more. She also owns a China marketing agency called Alaris. Ashley has been named LI Top Voice in Marketing, Guru on Fast Evolving Trends in China by Thinkers50, and one of the 30 women to watch in Greater China by Campaign Asia, and world's top 100 retail influencers. Oh my God, I'm out of breath just by saying this. Ashley, you're amazing. She is also a sought-after professional speaker and has authored 11 books about digital China. Ashley, I appreciate you found time to meet us with such a full schedule. You're very welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Maria. It's such a delight to be here.
No, it is such a pleasure to have you here. As I said before, I'm out of breath from your presentation. I'm amazed by everything you do. You still have time to manage to found two China-focused companies after doing so many things. Tell us more about that. You started with Alaris, your digital marketing agency, where you help international brands do Chinese digital marketing. What are the key trends and innovations shaping China's digital marketing landscape today?
When it comes to my first business that was related to China, that was indeed a marketing agency. And why I think marketing is important for everyone is it teaches you to think on behalf of a human, another human being, or we call them customers. And it helps you create products and services for them. It helps you to develop the customer journey. It helps you to also implement the technology and also understand the sales funnel and ultimately build a relationship with the clients through CRM for them to purchase again. So that is why any business, any entrepreneur, etc., I think marketing, psychology, and basically technology kind of come together today to really, really define what business world is about. And it doesn't matter what kind of service or, let's say, product you are actually selling. So when it comes to China, because Maria, you're asking what's different in China today, how's the landscape? China is a very unique market. So it's a little bit like a Galapagos of the digital marketing, right? There are unique species of digital platforms, the unique ways consumers behave. So of course it is very fast paced. Of course it is very crowded. Of course it is very misunderstood in the rest of the world. And of course it is very complicated. So content, just like anywhere else in the world, still rules. So in order to attract human beings or customers, right, we, of course, need to give them value. And we give them value through three major things, right? We entertain them, we educate them, or we ultimately amuse them, right? Add them some sort of, aid them to do research, to purchase a product or resolve their problem. So content begins the funnel. The second thing that is very important is the community anywhere in the world, not only in China. So the community, making sure that people before they purchase, they basically start kind of liking knowing you and wanting to do business with you. After they purchase, they join and speak with other like-minded individuals and with you. And obviously later on become your strong CRM and really grow beyond that into a community. And finally, there are campaigns, right? There's campaigns when you want to advertise something, launch something very targeted, you want to promote an event, you want to promote a specific product, a specific new process, etc. So content, community, and campaigns, these three C's exist anywhere in the world. In China, all those three C's are unique. The way we produce content, for example, in China, short videos are extremely, extremely popular, just like in the rest of the world. Yeah, but for example, we don't just produce advertising videos as the short videos, but we produce let's say, an entertaining video that also educates you and showcases a product. So it does all the three things at the same time. And those kind of videos do go viral. And yes, you put advertising money behind it. And yes, you boost them. But ultimately, the content itself is unique, right? Or for example, we have WeChat, and WeChat has long form articles. And within that long form article, you can code a certain behavior, right? So that the article has some pop-ups, etc. So the content type is not just a post on Facebook with one picture or a video on YouTube with some description, right? It has reactive elements, etc. When it comes to community, in China, community is also quite unique. We do have, again, WeChat groups. We do have a lot of one-to-one interactions, and we do have a lot of places for people to form interest kind of groups and discussions, etc. And when it comes to campaigns, we of course also have let's say live streaming, right, which is very, very big in the country. And I also have some data for you, so depending how interested you are in all that, I can drop in some data when it comes to, for instance, social commerce. Integration between e-commerce and social commerce in China is very, very strong. WeChat, Xiaohongshu, Douyin, all these platforms introduce the functions to transcend beyond just social media. So you basically have experience discovery, you have experience with purchases, and you have experience with kind of CRM all in the same platform. And beyond all that, how is China on top of that different? It is typically a bit more technologically advanced. So all these things, content creation, community building, and campaigns, when it comes to technology, we are also utilizing a lot of the power from tech giants, such giants as Alibaba, or, you know, Jingdong and Tencent, or Douyin, which is ByteDance as an ecosystem, etc., right? So we have AI assistants that we don't need to build ourselves as a brand or as a service provider, but are provided by the platform to help us sell 24/7, right, or to make recommendations. And also we have you know, mini programs within all these big apps that can help us sell or do check-in or do customer service, etc., etc. So that's how China is diverse. I know that I must have confused you, so that's why I loop back and say it once again. China is like a unique Galapagos island with unique animals and unique terrain and ecosystems, but ultimately the laws of nature are the same everywhere. It's just about understanding the landscape, understanding the unique animals, unique behaviors of all elements of that system, and acting on them. And of course, in 2024, just like in the rest of the world, you know, China is becoming even more digital. China is, like the rest of the world, also recovers from the impacts of the pandemic and economic slowdown. So there are some of those impacts as well.
Wow, that's super interesting. I'm thinking also about all these campaigns that you're talking about. China's also big in using these well-known faces like influencers, K-pop, K-drama actors and actresses and all this, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, absolutely. So when it comes to, you know, promoting your content, just like in the rest of the world, you have multiple options. You can promote through advertising, be it digital advertising, I think, personalized campaigns, or be it street banners, yeah, but basically all sorts of ads. You can also utilize influencers, or in China we call them KOLs, key opinion leaders of different caliber. They can be small, super small KOCs, they can be KOEs, key opinion employees that work in your company and also introduce the products and the inner workings of your industry or the product development cycles, etc. You can also go to Wang Hongs, right? People that are popular because of their lifestyle. You can also go to professional bloggers that actually are experts in their industry, et cetera, et cetera. So you can utilize those various channels as well. And of course, beyond all that, when it comes to advertising, you can also collaborate very, very closely with other brands in your industry or beyond that with many new consumption brands. So in China, we have new consumption brands, which means a brand was birthed, not traditionally as the, oh, there's a market need and there's a product and let me kind of introduce, try to introduce this product into the market. But they were birthed because somebody like, let's say, Ashley has a community and the community demands Ashley to create a product. So Ashley, together with the community, comes up with a product, and that product, be it skincare or green tea brand, right, then becomes new consumption brands because it was built in collaboration with audience. It was marketed in collaboration with audience. It was later on sold in collaboration with audience. The R&D was done in collaboration with audience, et cetera. And then it typically mushrooms across the country and basically follows a slightly different route. It is typically a D2C, direct-to-consumer kind of brand, and it has a very, very strong story behind it as well. So when it comes to all that, China is probably also rather advanced, yeah?
Yeah, in your introduction, I mentioned that you have written 11 books, and you did write one on working with bloggers, influencers, and KOLs. These are the key opinion leaders that you were mentioning in China. What are the key insights you hope readers will gain from it?
Well, I think it's very important to, first of all, understand in which instances you shall engage key opinion leaders. It is very important to know what types of key opinion leaders are there, right? As I just now introduced, there are smaller KOCs and they can be launched as an army to create an echo chamber, right? So that wherever you go online, you can actually hear about this product or service. They can also be great R&D departments. It's hard to recruit them, but it is rather effective again en masse. There are professionals that will actually do research or product testing and then use their power in the industry to announce your product, just like in the rest of the world. So the purpose to write this book was to introduce what are the similarities and the differences kind of outside of China and inside China, how to utilize the power of KOLs and KOC and KOEs in China on a variety of platforms, because there's also MCNs, multi-channel networks, that operate in this system that represent bloggers. So they are ultimately like blogger agents. Yeah, they're a little bit like guilds, blogger guilds. So you need to understand that there's very, very few private people that are doing large scale blogging and promotion in China. Typically, they belong to one of the MCNs. So you need to understand their inner workings and see how you ultimately collaborate with them and get results. Because very often, you can get a part of that inflated economy, the bots, the fake followers that will produce absolutely no result whatsoever when, again, working with bloggers, just, you know, destroying your budgets. Very, very similar like in the rest of the world as well, of course. And when it comes to advertising, same thing. With advertising, we have about 30 to 40% of any traffic that goes in China online, it is generated by bots. So if you look at your $10 of advertising money, you know that minimum 40, 30% are going to go into kind of bot money. So you don't want to also invest money in the influencers when you know that the influencers are also going to ultimately create kind of empty interactions, etc. So very important to learn about the types of influencers, very important to learn about how to collaborate with them, because it's not just, oh, find some random individual and let them publish a post. Content creation is a big part. Credibility is another big part. The fact that there's a middle man, which is an MCN, multi-channel network, is another part. So you need to understand those inner workings. And number three, ultimately, how to also organize the process to protect yourself. And there's been a lot of PR crisis situations with Western brands and, let's say, celebrities in China and, of course, outside of China as well. So you need to also know how to protect yourself and prepare for any unexpected situations if such will arise. So that was the purpose to write the book. And we co-authored it with Lauren Hallinan, who herself was an influencer in China. So she was also speaking from her personal experience, of course. And later on, 1 or 2 years later, I also co-authored the short book about micro-influencers in China. So this one is really about bigger bloggers, right, and working with MCNs, etc. But there's also key opinion consumers, right, that you micro-influencer KOCs that you also can activate, and there's a guide to that as well.
That's great. I would like to also ask you about what are some of the most common misconceptions or myths about China's digital marketing landscape, and how can international business better understand and navigate these nuances?
So when it comes to 10 years ago, let's say, the biggest misconceptions were very simple. Oh, the same strategies and the same platforms. Let's come to China and basically do everything the same, adopting this single strategy, right? Another thing is content, or we shall not personalize content too much, or let's look at China as one market. Like, we will come to China and we'll just publish China content. Well, I'm sorry, Beijing and Guangzhou and Hangzhou are completely different markets, right? So what are you doing locally? So these are the biggest misconceptions from 10 years ago. Today in 2024, I do not think that we have a lot of business people, people that are actually serious about this market, have these misconceptions, because it's just so 2009, you know, it's just so old. So today, the biggest, I think, misconception in the professional world outside of the country is that China is dead. China is, you know, kind of scary place. The economy is bad. The unemployment is high. You know, all the other uncertainties, everything. And basically, there's no opportunity for success as a foreign brand in China. So that today is probably the biggest misconception. For some industry, and for some brands, maybe it holds some truth. So if you, for example, want to bring an EV car brand into China, it will be very difficult because you're going to be competing against local competitors. You've lost the crucial 3 years of time. It will be very, very difficult to activate, etc. So maybe the train has departed. Yeah, but in a lot of instances, I believe that you need to come prepared. So if you're serious about China, it is still one of the world's largest markets. When it comes to consumption power, when it comes to the amount of people, when it comes to also demand and desire for international products. Another misconception in the same kind of concept would be, oh, you know, Chinese consumers are not really looking for international products. No, they are. They're not looking for international products. They're looking for the best products. So if your product or service is the best, is good, is unique, is answering the need, they want you. They don't care whether you're from China, from Germany, or from, you know, Spain. There are opportunities in the market. You need to come prepared. It's going to take 18 to 24 months. It's going to be costly and expensive because the whole market is very digital and competition is high. So it's expensive to advertise. It's expensive to stand out. You also will need to have local partners, of course, such as somebody like a TP partner, Taobao partner, who can help you sell, or offline distributors. You will have to have marketing agencies. You will have to have all sorts of consultants and legal. But this is, again, when you enter a new market, Ethiopian market, you also need this, you know, baseline of partners, and you also need to do your consumer research. You need to prepare proper strategy. There are opportunities in this market. So I would say, don't be afraid. If you believe that your product is good and there are people that could benefit from it in China en masse, do explore this opportunity. And if you're ready, invest the time and money and the sweat equity, you can do it.
That sounds great. You work closely with some Chinese tech giants like Alibaba, ByteDance, PDD, and many others. But what are some of the most successful e-commerce brands in China? And what do you think it sets them apart?
So when it comes to e-commerce brands, if you're talking about the e-commerce platforms, then of course, you know, Alibaba and Jingdongs and Kuaishous and Pinduoduos are very, very successful. So all these platforms, there's no surprises there. When it comes to brands themselves, we need to look whether we're talking about domestic competitors or we're talking about international brands present in China. What generally sets successful companies apart, if we talk about platforms, like somebody like Alibaba, Tencent, etc., they have a long-haul vision. They approach their business from the 10, 15, 20, 30-year perspective. So they know they're going to succeed. And if they're delayed by a year or faster by a year, they do not get nervous. But at the same time, they move with speed. So talking about, for example, Pinduoduo, right? When they came to rise since 2015, they started growing very, very fast from just a group buying and discounted kind of product collection into a proper e-commerce, wider range e-commerce and categories provider. Or for example, Douyin, how everybody who works in Douyin, doesn't matter if it's TikTok team or Douyin team in mainland China or abroad, they know that every 2, 3, 4 weeks, the strategy, the direction is changing. So it's very, very flexible. You started in the job A, 3 months later, you already done 5 jobs and you're still pivoting. So all that, the speed of implementation is just the name of the game for Chinese, you know, tech companies and tech giants. They try and test and move ahead fast. So if they succeed fast. If they fail, they typically also fail fast. And of course, another thing that kind of sets them apart are the consumers, right? The consumers themselves are very digitally savvy. The Chinese consumers are open to try new things. And the last one is, of course, the market size. So somebody who, let's say in a smaller country, let's imagine Finland or Ireland, if you right now are operating a domestic e-commerce platform, your market size is also your kind of constraint, right? That is why international platforms can dominate there because they come with a lot of resources. In China, with 1.4 billion people, you are doing quite okay. Also, you know, with this large market that provides you all these opportunities. But yeah, so once again, long-haul vision, the big vision, big picture vision, the speed of implementation, failing fast and succeeding fast, and also the fact that there's a lot of consumers that are digitally savvy and able to generally support you and test and try, and the market size. These are the things that set these companies apart.
I love it. Thank you so much for that. But we are almost coming to the end. But before we go, I want to ask you another question. How do you see the future of tech and business models unfolding in China? And what opportunities do you think it will present for international businesses?
Well, it's $1 million questions, right? If I had a crystal ball, what is the future of technology and business models in China? I think technology will continue dominating China's agenda as a whole. I believe that business model innovation is something that China is doing best. And today, international companies from around the world, including tech giants and also big multinationals, can learn from China's business model innovation. So that will, in my view, also again continue and expand. And in the next few years, we're going to see more and more China's new consumption brands from a variety of industries also introducing those business models and their products in Southeast Asian markets, you know, in Latin American markets, and basically, you know, kind of around the world. We already see that with, let's say, milk tea brands or hot pot brands, and obviously some electronic brands, etc. So when it comes to learning from China, yeah, this is the big opportunity. You can learn as an international business digital transformation successes and failures. So if you are in, let's say, green technology or sustainability industry, or you are in EV market, go and see what is China doing in that respect. What were some of the challenges? What were some of the successes? Not all of these lessons you can implement at home, but some of them you definitely can. And this can shorten your learning curve. So beyond green technology, there's also e-commerce, there's fintech, there's artificial intelligence, there's big data handling, there's you know, a lot of stuff that you could actually explore. And I think ecosystems and social commerce is one big part, because right now everybody around the world already knows that we need to be social, and commerce is happening everywhere all at once at the same time. So it is omni-channel. In China, we call it the new retail. So it basically becomes very human-centric. We move from consumer-centricity to human-centricity, right? What does a human experience at this moment? How do we make this human experience best? So social commerce and ecosystems building based on the human experience is also something that the rest of the world can, of course, learn. Apart from all that, entrepreneurship and also some of those leadership models, right? Because China has, as I said, as growing and going through such a big digital transformation, was going through a lot of change. So they innovated new business models, innovated new ways of leading people. And already today we have, you know, from higher to new consumption brands being featured in, you know, Harvard Business Review and many, many other journals as business models and entrepreneurship and leadership ways to, again, learn from and get inspired. And they become also case studies for us to observe.
That's amazing. I think it's been a great talk, and our audience has learned so much about China today. But before we go, is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience today?
I just want to thank everyone and encourage you to explore, right? What is it China and the world can do for each other? And if you think this is the market that is worth investing in, exploring, do so, despite the general feeling that 2024 might not be the year for expansion. Whenever there is a slower economy or some industries are in crisis, there's always an opportunity to expand. So look beyond paranoia, have a long-term view, definitely choose the right partners and ultimately have fun with it. The most important thing, also remember that the business that we're doing, no matter what kind of business you're in, it's all about humans. So it's not just about customer centricity. It is really about human centricity. And this is the message with which I want to leave you. In China today, we are moving very, very strongly when it comes to implementation of technology, development of products or processes. We're moving very, very strongly towards the understanding of the human psychology, the human processes, the human ways to do business. And I hope that this inspiration will also help you to do your business in a more human way, and that it will bring better experience to the end customer and, of course, a better experience for you as a business. Go get them.
That's great. It was amazing having you, Ashley. Well, that's the end of today's show with Ashley Dudaranoc. Please make sure to tune in again to see and or to listen to the next Visa Talk show, where we will be discussing more interesting topics with interesting people from all around the world. Thank you, Ashley.